Welcome to Eagle Eye. Interviewing your favorite USA Eagles around the globe. Now, here's your host, Bill Baker.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Eagle Eye Rookie Podcast. I am Bill Baker. Thank you so much for tuning in or watching on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, wherever, and listening on your favorite podcast player. I really do appreciate it. When you get a moment, please like, subscribe, leave a review or a comment. I appreciate all those comments coming in already. We're getting some really good stuff over the past few weeks. A lot of build-up for the summer test series coming up. So a lot of people are interested in listening into what the players or coaches have to say. And I really do appreciate you jumping in and listening. All right, today I have USA Women's Sevens head coach Chris Brown. Chris and I talk a lot about the Olympic preps, you know, quest for the gold this past weekend, and really the expectations he has on this team or the expectations the team has on themselves. Obviously gold, but what it's going to take to get to that, to meet those expectations. Now, we talk a bit about the squad. You know, he talks about the leadership qualities of Abby and Kristen, who were named captains for the Olympic Games. And then we get into, you know, we all know about Nia Tapper and Lev and them, but we talk more, a little bit more about the rookies, you know, Nia Tolliver and Ari Ramsey. You know, what qualities they have, because they're the lesser known names of this group. You know, what do they bring to the team other than, you know, their short stature for one of them. But anyway, what was really interesting is Chris's challenges of actually putting together an Olympic squad and how tough it was to have to leave certain people off the squad. There just wasn't room for them this time. So Chris has a great explanation about that and more. So hope you enjoy it. Here I am with Chris.
I'm going to finish my coffee. I'm nice and sharp.
That's right. It's early there. What have we got?
10:30? yeah, definitely.
California time. You're probably up at 6:30 surfing or something, aren't you?
I should be.
Well, you know, it's like I said, it's a very busy week for you. Let's talk about the team real quick. You know, talk about trainings. You know, how are they going, and what do they even look like right now?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, and we often find this in the last couple of weeks building into tournaments. Once we've named the team, and of course, obviously the biggest tournament that a lot of these players will face in their history or their playing history is in 5 weeks' time. And there's a lot of excitement, but there's also a lot of nerves that are linked to expectation and kind of, you know, quite often it's very easy. Well, we generally will play the experience in the game in our head multiple times before we even get there. And so what's been challenging with that over the last 2 weeks is seeing consistency on the training pitch. We've had some brilliant sessions, some brilliant blocks of training, specifically on Thursday and Friday last week. However, yesterday was a little bit hit and miss at times. You know, you see the natural traits coming through and you see some really, really nice play. But you also see the distraction, which we've got to constantly, I guess, address and recognize and try and be a bit more on point more often than not, you know.
Yeah, and you know what? I coach high school age and college age girls in soccer. And if we don't have a match in a week or two, they get antsy. And it's got to be tough to keep their interest as long as you've been coaching without competitive matches this whole time. I mean, how are there things you're doing as a coach to keep them involved, keep them interested? Anything kind of out of the ordinary as well?
Yeah, I mean, it is a big challenge in any professional environment. I mean, look, from a rugby standpoint, you look at the international game and the 15s versions, they come together for 4 to 6 weeks, and sometimes less than that. But so it's always fresh. It's naturally set up for you that you don't have to spend too much time, you know, trying to achieve what you've highlighted, Bill. And however, in our environment, it's a constant consideration is how can we, yes, from a training design standpoint. And how do we continue to stimulate the certain aspects of play just in a different, something that they deem different. So it is a bit fresher alongside doing what you know gets the results that you need to. But then also just bringing we have a social committee here and that can link into alternative games and different activities that we do, you know, around our core training sessions. And so that's a big part of what we have to consider and prioritize. Otherwise, it can get pretty mundane pretty quickly.
Yeah, and then hopefully Quest for the Gold, in LA helps with that mundaneness. You know, how important is a tournament like this to prepare for Tokyo and to finally get matches against other opponents instead of inter-squad scrimmages?
Yeah, it's key. We've had the blessing of being able to play four tournaments overseas in February, March, April time, and you know, we haven't actually hit an opposition for. We had Brazil pop in for a week, which was helpful before we named the squad. But to actually have the Olympic squad and have five or six games to just to refine a few things, and also just a few checkpoints from a psychological standpoint. That we will no doubt praise and also just have to address, etc. It's key. You know, I don't want to go 8-9 weeks without any opposition match play into the biggest game that we've biggest competition that we're ever going to face as this particular crew. So yeah, very grateful that they've set it up. I'm very grateful that Jamaica, Kenya, and GB, and specifically GB, because they are another one that, you know, they'll be fighting for a medal at the games. So to have a couple of games against them 3.5 weeks before we you know, get to the actual games themselves is really, really valuable for us.
Yeah, and so you've been involved in Olympic programs, preparations. Are preparations for like these Olympic Games any different than preparing for a Rugby World Cup or an HSBC stop? I mean, is it just because there's so much more in the line? You know, how different is this for you?
I've done three World Cups, sorry, and obviously the previous Olympics, and I don't see it as any different, really. I mean, I think our preparation, our process is very consistent, and it has been with the four programs that I've been with. And again, of course, there is that process has adaptability within it. It has individual specific needs and changes or modifications that we need to make for the specific group of people that we're working with. But I don't see the process actually changing. It's within that process is just already that recognition of, okay, hey, we're planning to adapt and we're planning to consider the specific needs of each group, and so this group has been much different to the USA men's team as much as the Kenyan team or the back in the day the Namibian 15 side. You know, there's different needs and different challenges and different strengths, so but that process has been pretty consistent throughout.
Yeah, and in 2016 Olympics, you know, the women finished fifth. You know, what's your message to the team about Tokyo? You know, what are your expectations of this team?
Well, I mean, look, our ultimate goal is gold. You don't hit what you don't aim for. And again, if you've gone back 3 years and you looked at the consistency of their play as a group, you'd be saying, okay, is that a goal that actually they can believe in? And because if you don't believe in it or you struggle to see yourself actually fulfilling that, then, you know, it's not going to happen. However, you know, if we look at the last 9 tournaments that we've played or last 10 tournaments, you know, we've been in 7 semifinals, we've been in 3 grand finals, we won 2. You know, we've had a few wake up calls and a few lessons taught to us from the Kiwi specifically and Canada at times. But we've also put 5 tries on the Kiwis and really put them to the sword 18 months ago, and you know, on 4 or 5 occasions done it to the Aussies as well. So I think why I say that is we know that there's 4 or 5 teams that can realistically win gold, and I would throw the French into that as well. There's enough quality in their squad as there is in our squad to go, okay, we've had and they've had. If you take away Canada and ourselves, in the last 3 or 4 years, the French would be the most successful team against the Kiwis, you know, alongside ourselves. So, you know, I think it's going to be pretty exciting from a viewer standpoint. And you know, of course, the Kiwis are number one right now and should be number one based on what they've done the last 4 or 5 years. But we are targeting that goal, and that's the expectation. And, of course, you know, first and foremost, going to the Olympics is a huge achievement. Secondly, if you achieve any medal, that's something to cherish for life. However, we have set those expectations for ourselves based off what we've achieved, that we have the opportunity to go and achieve something that very, very few people can, and so that's what we'll be aiming for.
Okay, let's talk about your squad. You've named Abby and Kristen co-captains. You know, why them? What are their leadership qualities?
Yeah, brilliant. Look, Chris is, you know, we refined our culture a lot 3 years ago, and it was built off what they wanted to stand for as a group. We spent about 2 months, Emily Bywell, myself, really refining, really creating a space for them to share what they want to stand for and what they understood would achieve that, and then refining that to make it something that we can, that the lens that we can look through, so that we're constantly assessing and we're able to constantly build and develop effectively, and address issues head on and continue to mature as a unit. And Chris Thomas has been a big part of this program for the last 6-7 years, and she's one of her most brilliant traits off pitch is how she makes time and is constantly trying to she's that kind of temperate gauge where trying to make sure that everybody feels connected and respected and appreciated and valued, and so that's a huge part. She's got a great eye for the game analysis wise, and then of course we know that she's got the individual brilliance on pitch, with her ability to finish and defend on that edge, which is an example for people to follow. I think where Abby is different from a lot within the group is she's got a great rugby understanding, her IQ, her ability to communicate a message very simplistically and with great clarity is strong. And then, you know, she on pitch, she's a fighter, and you know, eerily, she's one of the best in the world. But that's not what that's very, very valuable and makes a big difference to our team. But her organisation around the pitch, and specifically on the attacking side, her ability to create and stay away and open up the pitch with her attacking skill set is highly valuable. And so you know, that combination leads to this environment and the group being led in a very good way and very healthy, and I've got a good relationship with both of them, that you know, the conversations are generally very open and to the point, and that keeps us on point as a management as well.
Yeah, and you have no shortage of leaders, you know, other than those two, of course, because you have a lot of experience, which tends to be becoming leaders as well. So you know. Yeah. Lev, of course, has been around for a bit. Lauren, Chris, Naya Tapper, a lot of experience just with that small group, and there's more, obviously. But there were two names that I want to talk to you about, and these two women have no Rugby World Cup Sevens, no World Series Tour stops. You know, Naya Tolliver and Ariana Ramsey. Tolliver played Madrid, scored every match, had a really good tournament, and Ramsey, but relatively new to the scene. Can you talk about those two players and what they bring to the team?
Yeah, brilliant. And I mean, this is the beauty of sevens is that in your 12, you're constantly looking for elements of play or elements of that maybe you don't have. Within your, your playing unit per se, and that's where Eri and Nia come to the party. Nia is a very powerful, you know, she's very blessed as an athlete, you know. Not all of us are as privileged as her when it comes to being able to do what she can do just naturally. She constantly, when she's got ball in hand and in a really confident mind space, is constantly line breaking / bringing three defenders into a ruck scenario, which creates space for other players. You know, she's one of the quickest in the group. With her size, it creates a lot for other people if she's not scoring herself. And she's early on. I mean, she's got many Olympic games ahead of her, I've got no doubt. And she's early on in her rugby understanding process, but she doesn't need to be the the complete package right now. What she does need to be is if she gets her opportunity to step into the 12 at the games, is that wrecking ball in many ways that causes destruction or scores those tries for us, and just do every other standpoint, just being what she's shown in training to this point is enough. And then Aerie's very, very similar. But Aerie, unlike a lot of our players like Alev Kauter, Alona Ma, Christy Kirsch, Cheta Mba, where they're more like they're good finishers, they're powerful players, but they quite often take the inside or through contact to score. Aerie is the most natural within the group, actually taking the outside. So that's quite desirable when you don't have that as consistently across the squad to complement the other 11 players that are within the 12. And she's also, her rugby IQ is solid. She's been playing the game for a fair while. She's a smaller, yeah, smaller athlete, still very powerful, but she is smaller. And so I think often what you find is that, you know, people, when you don't have the size, you've got to work out other ways to get to the try line and to use what you do have. And yeah, she's got the speed, but she's also very good at getting into spaces and creating uncomfort for defences. So that's very exciting, I think. And I think you'll see, specifically out of her, I think you'll see a lot in LA, and you'll see some pretty special moments and influential moments when it comes to the games in 5 weeks' time.
You mentioned her size, Aerie's size. I saw a photo today of her in training holding the ball up here. It looked like the size of her entire upper torso. I'm thinking, either you guys play with rugby balls this big, or she's a small woman. How big is she?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to quote her, no. Her height, because I'll be off on her height. But I mean, look, she's definitely she's compact, but she's very powerful, and I think what's nice is that size of the ball that you highlight is the size of her heart. You know, she's she's had a number of bumps and bruises throughout this last 12 months while being in this environment, and the resilience has been very, very clear. And she, you know, there's been a number of tough conversations that ultimately, here, you either perform now or you know, you're done. And she's done that on three or four occasions at different stages. And so, yeah, I don't know how that heart, that's as big as that rugby ball's inside of her, but it's that's definitely a huge trait of hers. So.
Sounds like a great teammate. All right, so let's talk as coach to coach. It's hard enough for me to choose a starting 11 for soccer, let alone someone choosing a squad for an Olympic Games. So look outside the 15-player roster. Is there someone you can talk about, or some of the players you can talk about that stood out, but you just couldn't find room for them on the roster?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it was pretty challenging that a couple of weeks ago we trimmed the squad down to 16 that have been, you know, that are going to take us through until we depart, and then Jasmine Gray will not continue to Tokyo with us, but she's really come on leaps and bounds in the last 12 months. She's a great team player, but I don't pick players to be here just I don't pick culture players, put it that way. If you're not honestly competing or competing for the next cycle, then you're not here. And she put herself into a position where she was being considered for tournaments and considered, her name was being mentioned when we look at the Olympic lineup, and that says a lot about her, because 12 months ago when her and I were having these conversations, that wasn't the case. It was about the next cycle. So she won our Brave Award, which was voted for by the players, or teammates, of you know, ultimately the character and the example that they're inspired by and want to follow. And so that says a lot about her. Four other players, Sui Aul, Elena Olsen, Mia Bitzer, and Steph Rivetti, you know, they played had a big impact over this program, or in this program, or on this program, sorry, in the last 3 years. And I think, you know, if you look at Stephanie Rivetti, she could have been in that 12. Not in the 15, she could have been in the 12 for what she brings to the party. And she, you know, with the conversations that we have, were really, really tough, because a different lineup would have led to her being potentially in the 12. However, that's the challenge of my role is I've got 12 spots, and although some players may be better all-rounded players than maybe one or two others, based off how you see your tactical approach going, you may not feel that you need that more all-rounded player compared to that strike element that you may not have across the other 10 or 11 that are in the squad. And so, I mean, it was really, really tough specifically for her because of what I've just said, and she's been so valuable to this group and played in all three finals, won two championships, and she's a true example of brave. And, you know, that's one decision that I didn't really want to have to make, but I have to make it. And unfortunately, she was the one that missed out this time.
What's it going to feel like for you, or especially for the ladies? You know, with Tokyo, obviously it won't be as many fans as, say, other Olympics, but what's it going to be like for everyone to walk in through into those opening games as just being involved in that atmosphere?
I mean, it's going to be brilliant. It will be different. I mean, for 10 of these athletes, they won't know any difference. It'll be there. They'll know the difference compared to the World Series. However, I remember speaking to Ben Finkelman and Maka Unifa following the last Olympics, and they individually, they tried to approach it differently. Maka was like trying to treat it like it was the biggest game ever, and he wished he had just treated it like, you know, it's just another game of rugby. And Pinky was the opposite way around. He's like, no, for me, I should have flippin' treated it like it was the biggest game of rugby. and that's what these players are going to have to choose to do. And they might have to choose to adapt on the moment. And the next game, it's like, okay, hold up. No, that's not helping me. This is the biggest moment. Or, hold up. But we've spent a lot of time on the psychological game with Peter Harbrull from the US Olympic Committee last 7 years. But specifically, he's been heavily hands-on the last 3 years of this group, and a huge testament to the growth of this group, maturity-wise, and how they handle adversity comes down to his leadership and his direction. And so I think we, in a sense of purely preparation for the game standpoint, I think we're in a great spot. And I think there'll be a lot of choices and things that we'll just have to acknowledge and make choices in the moment. But with regards to the limitations around crowd or that kind of experience, it's going to be the experience it is, and we'll do our best to try and embrace it and be grateful for those opportunities. And when you're in that mindset, then things tend to come your way.
So USA gold, New Zealand silver, Canada bronze. Does that sound good to you?
That sounds brilliant. That sounds brilliant to me. It won't sound good to Corey and the team over there, or Mick and the Canadians. But if you're going to give me that today, then I'll take it with open hands.
All right. Hey, thank you so much for joining me, giving me your time. Good luck this next month getting ready, and definitely good luck in the Olympics.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.